Blog Talk Radio.
One thing that's missing amongst our people, we won't get united in the spirit according to the word as a prophetic people of Israel. When it, and guess what? It was because of the fall of Israel. All the Gentiles became rich. It wasn't the fall of Haitians. It wasn't the fall of Black Americans. It wasn't the fall of Puerto Ricans. It wasn't the fall of all these other names we've been divided on. And above all, not just uniting in the spirit of Israel, but above all, uniting as that remnant under Christ. Even if we took heed from what they're doing, they rolled out the blueprint. But our people are so divided, they can't even see. They can't even see the forest from the trees. If there was a chance for the nation could give us something, we're not united enough to receive it. Over the line. Before I open up the line, George, are you still in here? And above all, there's not enough time for all of it anyway, but I just want to lay it all out. I want to lay it all out and compare atrocities to say that, listen, you have to understand the political game they play out there. By labeling people indeed the victimized and the financial benefit, especially on the war, the state claims as a victim above everyone else. You have to understand the political sachet and finances that come with it. So that you're not playing into these political games. If I know that KKK and all these are strong in arguments that they can now attach us to. Why would I now operate in the spirit of racism and hatred toward another people when now they got a group they can attach you to? As race haters. So to what? So to stop the true conversation. Right? See? I'll be able to lay it all out and say, well, okay. You want to talk about atrocities, let's talk about these people. And I would say, one way we can use this is to say, well, okay. What about you politicians out there that are passing everyone else? We know you have the fortitude and the ink pen to do so. Here's some atrocities that happened to the children of Israel. Why did you push legislation for your people, your constituency, for the lost tribe of Israel who are suffering in the community? See? Okay, George, where are you? You ready? George said there's too many contradictions in this judgment. George, let me know if you're ready. You say you're ready out there, and I'll bring you in and you can bring out one contradiction in the New Testament. One second, folks. Come on, George. Curious, George. Come on, Curious George, just raise your hand, tell me you're there so I can bring you in, and you can show me the contradictions in the New Testament. And another thing I said, if anyone out there can prove that Cornelius is an Israelite, no, that means you come in here and prove that within 3 minutes. I can prove to you he isn't within 2 minutes. If you can prove that Cornelius was an Israelite, anybody, Israelite or whatever, I will actually donate to your church. okay. So George was bloviating. Some of the New Testament got too many contradictions, but can't state one. All right. So I'm ready if you want. Right? All right, so let's do this. I'll try to open up about 30 minutes blog talk. And let me say this. Now that we've laid out the atrocities of the children of Israel by the hand of those who enslaved us, right? I would say when it comes to resources or allocation, when someone is claiming that they need to protect themselves to us, right, so that we can back their causes, right, that leads to political and financial resources for this. Now our people can take a stand and say, well, hold up. I can't march for your cause. I don't care if you call yourself a minority. I can't stand for your cause. I'm not going to vote for your cause. Okay? Because we need to do something about what's going on with these people here, my people. Okay? So when you're ready to do something like that, then I can talk about what's going on with you as a minority group. Don't try to attach yourself to me and my cause because it's an insult. Okay? It's an insult. If you try to compare what's going on with you and the earth right now compared to what have happened to our people throughout age and memorial by the hands of your people. So I don't want to hear about I lock hands or lock arms with your people in civil rights. We don't got nothing to do with that. Okay? It's an insult when people who deal with their own sexual desires try to attach their sexuality to the fight of our people who have always been destroyed in this earth. That's an insult. Okay? So it's time for our people to stand and say, well, listen, I'll hear your call once you do something about what has happened to our people first. So that means I will listen to you after I've already received something. That's how you do it. And that's how the political landscape is shaped, folks. In a nutshell, what you see people when they're out there protesting and all that, folks, it's about allocation for funds so that they can have funds for their program for the next 4 years. And you notice after the election, all of this protest and all that stuff magically go away. You know why? Because now they have allocated to the resources that keep you on the bottom. Right? Let's see here. Okay, yeah. Block Talk is actually open today, 515-605-9327. Now, someone said there was an issue.
Right. 704 area code, you have a comment or a question?
Elder Lawyer is still in Africa right now, so I'm handling things. Elder Lawyer, if you'd like to call that,
704-213-2216. Are you there? If you can hear me, I cannot hear you.
I'm waiting for you, George. Show me some time.
772 area code. You have a comment or a question?
You can Google something and bring it.
772 area code. Are you there?
Unmuted. All right. I'm Elder Ricard Shaw, the Gathered of Christ Church, here live Hope all is well. If you have anything to say, any questions or comments on what we're talking about, I'll be more than happy to hear your insightful analysis on what we've just broken down. All right. And of course, if you have any other questions, I'll be more than happy to actually entertain those. And yes, if someone can come in and prove that Cornelius was an Israelite, which is a lie from the pits of hell, I'm open for that too. And Curious George, who claimed that the New Testament have many contradictions. It's hard to claim something have contradictions that you don't even believe in. See, that's dishonest in itself, because you would actually have to honestly have read the Bible in good faith, unbiased, to determine whether or not there was a contradiction. See? Bob Kama, let me bring you in.
Hello, Elder. This is Sophia. Bob Chakma, if you want to say my Hebrew name.
Okay, how are you?
I'm doing fine. I'm doing great, sir. And yourself?
I'm blessed by the best. I hope the sound is good out there, because the first time I went through this mixer, they said it sound weird, but I hope you can all hear it fine. What say you? Floor is yours.
Okay, yes, sir. So I just wanted to say this is my first time calling ever. I've been around the church since 2009, and
okay.
I was baptized by Elder Grinnell, and my husband, he was still here. He's gone now. He passed away. But he baptized us. Thank you. He baptized us along with my daughter, Jessica.
Okay.
And, kind of nervous. I'm trying to get over. I have a fear of people. So I'm trying to get over my fear and trying to be extrovert instead of introvert. So this is probably the first time I've ever called. But I just want to say thank you so much for the reminder in the beginning of the broadcast about, you know, don't focus on what the other nations have done to us, especially Esau, since Esau is the last society that has done anything to our people, but to focus on what the Most High is going to do for us through saving us through all of this peril. And I look forward to signing up for the Hebrew and Bible Academy on the 21st, I believe you said.
Okay. Thank
and
you.
I want, you're very welcome. It's my pleasure. And that's all I want to say. And thank you so much for your time.
Well, thank you for persevering. And sister, you have my deepest condolences for your husband. And we're here for you. And let's finish. And again, we're not to ignore the atrocities of these Satanists out here concerning the Gentiles' conspiracies against us, right? So
yes,
what I'm saying is, when it comes to doctrine, the Bible says, be not curious how the wicked shall be punished, but more so how the righteous shall be saved. Why not focus on and set your doctrine on how we can come back under the law and how we're under Christ, and to protect ourselves so that we can now see the pitfalls and snares of the enemy who's seeking our demise. So it's not to ignore what they're doing, but it's absolutely ridiculous making a whole doctrine and church off of the white man is the devil.
Amen.
It minimizes the power in of itself of the Bible. It minimizes it because the Bible is so manifold with wisdom and understanding that if that's all you're focusing on, you're missing out on so much. So we should also not to ignore that the evildoers are operating, but you can't make the evildoers your doctrine, right? Thank you.
Yes,
I appreciate it, sister.
You're
all
very
right.
Welcome. God bless you. Y'all take care.
Thank you, sister. And thanks for calling. Call in again, okay?
Okay, I will. Thank you.
All right. Thank you. Bless you. All right. Going down the line, we have Nicole with a question. Yes,
Greetings.
Nicole.
Greetings. Shalom. Elder.
Good
to hear your voice. Good to hear your voice.
Thank you.
It's always exciting to talk to you. We're looking forward to Jacob Trouble in the next academy. I just know it's going to be just a great time of preparation for the days to come. My husband and I and my daughter, we love the academy. We don't know life before the academy, and we look forward to what we're going to glean from the next academy. So thank you for I wish we didn't even have to enroll. I wish it was just like a lifetime enrollment, and you can just automatically go from one to the next just by clicking a button or something. But who knows, maybe in the near future. However, first I want to ask.
Thank you.
Absolutely. First I want to ask quickly, is the Memphis church still underway?
Yes, sister. We're going to do the Memphis church. I'm working on that. Just hold tight. I'm going to discuss that in our next meeting. First of all, I would like to get what I'm going to do is I'm going to make an announcement. And the announcement is we're going to take all the email we have, all the, you know, all the connections we have there in Memphis together, and we're going to discuss the number of people, and then we're going to come up with the location. So, last week, I think we just did, Oklahoma is open. As of last week, the 6th, all praise be to the Most High, just a few days. So the next, we're definitely going to move some of our people in the south in close proximity, probably a deacon or someone, to go over to begin Memphis. So I'm glad you reminded me, but yes, that is on the docket. Okay?
Thank you. You know we need
finally, you've been waiting a long time, I know. But if we're going to make it work for you, sister. Believe me, it's going to be there.
All right. We're going to get back. Hopefully we'll get baptized within the next few weeks or the next mass baptism. We're looking forward to that. But my final question is I wanted to know exactly regarding, you know, I always tell people when I'm in this truth YouTube channel that where I share this truth. And one of the things that I say a lot is that a good God is a just God. And I know that there's the scripture that says he didn't lead us in Can you expound on exactly what that means? Because I'm curious to know, in the kingdom, how will the Gentiles serve us if they are our inheritance, if they are supposed to, you know, if God is just and he's supposed to, you know, get recompense for, as you mentioned earlier, Esau overdoing it. So how does that look in the kingdom, does the scriptures not, this, you know, I know it's limited how much the scripture reveals about the kingdom to come, but I know outside of the 144,000 who will be ruling with our king and with the elders and whatnot, the 24 elders, how does the rest of the kingdom look like in regard to the servitude of the Gentile?
Great question. And I'm going to keep you on while I glean through this real quick, okay?
Yes, sir.
Right? See, I'm going to tell you the ridiculousness. Ridiculousness of you making people making a doctrine of everybody going to be destroyed. There's no one going to be left of Esau when it says there shall none be left of the mount of Esau. It's speaking of the lands they stole. That's number one, right? Now, I'm starting to hear a little click behind you. I don't know if you have any playing in the background, too. No?
No, sir. I have everything turned down.
Okay. Okay. All right. Great. It sounds like it's something. You have me on a speakerphone?
Oh, yeah. Shall I get you off?
Yeah. Just off the speakerphone just 1 second because it's feeding back.
Okay. I'm ear to the phone now.
Okay. Great. Now, first of all, it's ridiculous for one to say out there, that there'll be none left of Esau, that all Esau is going to be destroyed, right?
Mm-hmm. Right.
Now, let me show you that first, which is utterly ridiculous. When you go to Genesis 25, right?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And I'm going to pull this up so that they all can see this.
Because there's going to be a remnant of all the nations, right?
Yeah, absolutely. But I'm going to break it down because I know, don't forget, I taught this stuff since I was in my early 20s. So I'm doing this as a quick lesson because I know what normally people is going to run into here on YouTube when it comes to running into some Israelites, right?
Right.
Right. When you go to, first of all, when you go to Deuteronomy 25, right? And let's start here, where it talks about Esau in particular, all right? It was told to Rebekah, and the children struggled together within her, that's the 22nd verse, and said, if it be so, why am I thus? And she said, and she went to inquire of the Lord. She went to talk to the Most High. And the Lord said unto her, two nations are in thine womb. And eventually these two people would become two separate nations in the earth. And two manner of people shall be separated from thy bowels. That means instead of a single child, you'll have twins. And one shall be stronger than the other people, and the elder shall serve the younger. Now, if it was meant for the elder to serve the younger, right?
They couldn't be all destroyed.
If all of them are destroyed and they rule the world, how can they now fulfill this particular prophecy? Because right. Esau came out first. And the first came out red all over like a hairy garment. And they called his name Esau. So common sense will tell you something must happen in the earth that would give these particular, some of Edomites an opportunity to serve in Christ's kingdom. Or what of this prophecy? The elder serving the younger. See, but what they don't want to tell people is that in order for the remnant of Esau to make it through, it's our responsibility to tell the nations their position according to the gospel, like the disciples did. That means you as a teacher must teach them. You can't blame them for being wrong when they've been taught lies too. If you are a teacher of the Bible, you must give them an opportunity to choose whether or not to continue in the negative of their father or to choose right when it comes to the gospel. See?
Yeah.
And that's the backwards part of this, sister. The backwards part of this is you're blaming them for not following the law with the knowledge to go through the Bible to teach them better, but yet refuse to do so. How ridiculous is that? That's number one. All right. Now, when it says, and the first came out red all over like a hairy garment, call his name Esau. So Esau would one day have to serve. But we must teach them the path that gives them that opportunity. That's correct.
Mm-hmm.
That's number one. Now, I'm going to show you what scriptures they butcher because they're only dealing with scriptures according to their personal hate for people. Right? They use the book of Obadiah, right? And I'm going to the book of Obadiah, right? And it says here in the book of Obadiah, here's the scripture they use. And thy mighty men, O Teman, shall be dismayed that the end, that every one of the mount of Esau shall be cut off by slaughter. So they teach in their crazed doctrine that he's talking about every Edomite being killed by Christ when Christ returns.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they're talking about that. It's talking about them losing what? Land. Territory.
Land.
How do you prove this? And it says, for thy violence against thy brother Jacob, shame shall cover thee, and thou shalt be cut off forever. Right?
Mm-hmm.
And in that day, thou stoodest on the other side in the day that the strangers carried away his forces, that means material, riches, and foreigners entered into his gates, speaking of our homeland, Jerusalem, like they're over there fighting now on our land, and cast lots upon Jerusalem, even thou was as one of them. Right? But thou shouldest not have looked on the day of thy brother in the day that he became a stranger. Neither shouldest thou have rejoiced over the children of Judah in the day of their destruction, 70 AD. Neither shalt thou have spoken proudly in the day of distress. Thou shouldest not have entered into the gate of my people in the day of their calamity. Yea, thou shouldest not have looked on their affliction in the day of their calamity, nor have laid hands on their substance in the day of their calamity. That's how they got rich.
Mm-hmm.
Neither shouldest thou have stood in the crossway to cut off those of his that did escape. Neither shouldest thou have delivered up those of his that did remain in the day of distress. Now, one thing about this is that Obadiah is showing that God didn't forget anything they've done. That's number one.
Mm-hmm.
So we can teach the judgment. Mm-hmm. The Most High says none of you will get away. Right? But then it says here, right? When you go down, it says, but upon Mount Zion shall be deliverance, and there shall be holiness, and the house of Jacob shall possess their possessions.
Mm-hmm.
That means what they stole comes back to its rightful owners.
Mm.
So, and I'm going to show you this. And this is why it's best that people begin to study and understand theology before becoming unhinged, using the scriptures to execute races through one's racism, through their own, narrow views. Right?
Does that mean the same thing?
Yeah, but let me show you something. I'm going to show you. When you go down and you look at the Septuagint of the New Testament, it makes it clear.
Mm-hmm.
It makes it clear what it's talking about, right?
Mm-hmm.
Let me show you this.
I have a Septuagint. Let me get it.
No, you don't have to. I'm just going to read it because I have it on there for everyone.
Okay.
Right? When it says here, let me get it here. Let me get all the way down. Let me get it here. Let's get it here. You're right here. When it says there shall be nothing left of the Mount of Esau, look at what it says here on the 18th verse when you look at the Septuagint, which is an older translation of the Old Testament.
Mm-hmm.
And the house of Jacob shall be fire, and the house of Joseph a flame, and the house of Esau shall be for stubble, and Israel shall flame forth against them and shall devour them. I'm going into that when it comes to the final war against Jacob and Esau. And there shall not be a cornfield left to the house of Esau, because the Lord has spoken it. So when it says there shall be none left of the Mount of Esau, it's speaking of the property they have stolen, the ill-gotten gains. It's not speaking of all Edomites dead, which is utterly crazy rhetoric. Okay. Now,
okay.
Let me show you this in the New Testament now. See, when you go into the New Testament, it tell you in Acts 15, verse 14, right? Now, this gives the understanding of how we as Israel under Christ must deliver the doctrine or the gospel, not just to our people, but to the Gentiles. Let's read this real quick, right? And I'm going to tell you, and I'm going to make it clear. If a Jewish person was to come to me, who was under Judaism and said that he'd been seeing things wrong under that doctrine, that he would like to be baptized in the name of Christ for the saving of his soul, regardless of whether or not he came from a doctrine that didn't believe in Christ.
Mm-hmm.
We as teachers must facilitate that and take him to the water. Okay? Now, that relationship and whether or not he'll appreciate that relationship going forward depends on his walk with Christ. But all in all, if he come to me, regardless of what they have done and all that, we must, what? Baptize them according to Christ.
Uh-huh.
Right? Because let me tell you, it's been many people, even of our own people, who have harmed and killed and did a lot of things they're ashamed of within our community.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And we're not looking at what they've done and say, well, okay, you don't have access because of the negative you've done, according to the Old Testament. Christ gives you the opportunity to right the wrong and show an example to the same people you helped destroy, like Paul. So now,
okay,
I don't...
Well,
So,
how does the servitude look, though? I mean,
if you work with me, because I'm not just talking to you, I'm teaching right now. Just be patient.
Okay.
Acts 15 and 14 reads, Simeon have declared how God at the first did visit the Gentiles to take out of them a people for his name. This is the reason the Most High put a spirit on Cornelius to come to Peter to receive the gospel, to take out from among the Gentiles a people for his name. What people? The people who would serve Christ in Israel in the kingdom to come. Now, it reads here, and to this agree the words of the prophets as it is written, for I will return and will build again the tabernacle of David, which is fallen down. And I will build again the ruins thereof, and I will set it up, that the residue of men might seek after the Lord, and all the Gentiles upon whom my name is called, saith the Lord, who doeth this, right? Sister, what's that noise? Are you scraping something?
Oh, my bad. Keep going. I'm sorry. My bad.
Yeah, you got thousands of people listening to this.
I was getting some ice. I'm sorry.
All right. So according to Acts 15 and 17, that the residue of men might seek the Lord, and all the Gentiles upon whom my name is called, saith the Lord, who doeth this? Why? Well, when you look at Acts 15, you must go now into Amos to understand and fully what the disciples were fulfilling here in Acts 15. So let's go to the same quote. Let's now go to Amos 9, and let's start at about the 11th verse. This is where the disciples understood that they needed to deliver a path towards the Gentiles also. Listen. So it was written in the Old Testament. And that day will I raise up the tabernacle of David that is fallen. We know that's through Christ. And close up the breaches thereof. And I will raise up his ruins. And I will build it as in the days of old. Now, in the days of old, we weren't split. Israel was united. So Christ's spirit unites Israel, even though we're scattered throughout the earth. That's the gospel. So that's for our people, right, under David. 12, that they, who are the they? Israelites may possess the remnant of Edom. This is why Cornelius was sent. So that now that spirit that was given to Rebecca, that prophecy, the elder will serve the younger now.
Mm-hmm.
That they may possess the remnant of Edom, that's a servant, and all the heathen, that's the Gentiles, which are called by my name, saith the Lord that doeth this. Right? So how do you know this is talking about the Gentiles? Because in the kingdom, Israelites aren't going to possess Israelites. This is speaking of a path made so that the Gentiles who are willing to walk away from their paganism and satanic worships get an opportunity to serve in Christ's kingdom.
Mm-hmm.
Now, if they refuse, it tells you in the book of Ezekiel that if any Gentile refuse when Christ returns to serve, then he'll destroy them. But if they're willing to serve, they'll serve 1,000 years. And it's not the servitude we're dealing with. We're talking about a righteous servitude where they get an opportunity to operate on the lands that was given to their fathers when the earth was separated during the time of Noah. But yet the ambassadors and governors over their lands will be our people. It's quite that simple.
Okay.
All right?
Yes, sir. Got it.
Thank you.
Excellent.
Bless you.
Thank you. Shalom.
Now, see, one thing I don't like is ignorance. after everything I just broke down, someone says, so Esau will have equal with Israel. How is Esau serving Jacob equal? And you know what I believe? I believe people listen through their feelings. And while they're thinking, some things just fly over their heads. After everything I just broke down, someone just stated in the comments, so Esau will have equal with Israelites. Listen, if that's what you believe, I'm gonna let that be out there. I'm not even gonna answer that nonsense. All right. The number is 515-605-9327. Right. Let's see. Israel has a comment and question.
Hey, Shalom, Elder. How you doing today, fam?
I'm doing well. Yourself?
I'm doing good, brother. My comment was, man, that was some fancy footwork, man, with that hat move you had done on the Passover, man. That was pretty fly.
Oh, yeah. That reminds me of those old days dancing. Philly floor takers and Stepping Unique. So yeah, it took me back a few years. I grabbed hold to a little of my youth, right? Spent the hat around, yeah.
I say Elder must have been practicing on that because he didn't drop that hat not one time, man.
I look back. I think I could have been a little bit more sharper, but you know, it's all good. What you got?
It was cool. It was cool, fam. It was cool, man.
Thank you.
The question I got, and I know you can answer this for me, Elder. The question I got is, if these other gods are fake gods, like, you know, the Hindu gods and European Jesus and stuff like that, what gives them power?
Well,
if they don't exist, if they're fake.
No, I'm going to drop something on you. I never said they didn't exist.
Okay.
Right? So let me show you something real quick. I'm going to read this real quick, right? I never said they didn't exist, right?
Okay.
When you go to Corinthians, the fifth chapter.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Yes, sir.
It reads right here. Paul reads, says in the Corinthians 8:4, as concerning therefore the eating of those things that are offered in sacrifice unto idols. We know that an idol is nothing in the world, but there's none other than but one God, right? So the idols are nothing, but check this out. It says here, for though there be that are called gods, whether in heaven or in earth, as there be gods many, and lords many, but to us there's but one God and Father, of whom are all things, and we in him, and one Lord, Jesus Christ, Yeshua Mashiach, by whom all things, and we by him. So it doesn't say that these gods doesn't exist. There's gods many, but you have, just like Satan, you have gods who have fallen to this earth, where the Gentiles, after receiving technology and others, begin to revere them as the creator. And that's really the origin of paganism, because the gods came down. They were here in earth before Adam. And these are they who gave technology to Cain and others. And in return of the technology, they would worship the same fallen gods who are to be judged. Now, back then, in old days, in ancient times, there weren't TV and communications we see today, not that we have seen up until this point. So in order for them to instill the fear and reverence to that fallen God before the flood, you had the priests of Nod and others who would make images of the fallen gods to have a presence of that God in their house to fear. That began the spirit of idolatry. It started in the city of Cain, where to remind them of the God who had given them technology of the earth and how to do certain things, they would have an idol in their house of that particular God, and that began idolatry. It's really a communicator to communicate to the people the God they serve in secret. But all of those gods, the Egyptian gods and all of that, are the fallen ones who began to teach mankind evil and all that in order to cause a cataclysm on earth where man would destroy one another. Those gods exist. And many were bound before the flood.
Okay? Got you. Yes, sir.
But the idols in of itself are nothing. And that's what the Most High was saying. The Most High was saying, listen, you're doing all this to fashion a God and all that and bow to it when you are more powerful than the shape you're making. You're greater than these fallen gods. You're more greater than this idol. Gods only mean celestial. Celestial. Right? It tell you in Corinthians that you got terrestrial, which is man, and celestial, which is a higher being, which is extraterrestrial. Celestial only means the spirits that were created that ministers to the earth. So when angels come down and service God, the Gentiles see these angels. It doesn't matter whether or not they be good or bad, or whether they see all the celestial as a God. So yes, there's gods many, whether it be in heaven and earth. It's just that we have a different view than the Gentiles have of them. Our view is these celestial or gods under the Most High or angels are sent to minister unto us, and they're under the control of our God. The Gentiles see them as higher beings that they should worship. And this is why the Hindus have all these different gods and all this. Even in Islam, there's many gods. A lot of people don't know this. The Catholicism, every time you light a candle, you light into a different god. These are the gods they serve in secret. You got it?
Yes, sir, I do. And I just want to thank you, Elder, for that clarification, man. I've been wanting to ask you that for a minute. Thank you very much. And Barakatai, Elder.
Ayyadabar. Anytime, my brother. Shalom.
All right, brother. Shalom.
Okay, I can't be on for too long, but I'll just go through a few more of these. Thank you. A lot of these messages are great. 240 area code. Max has a comment and or question.
How you doing?
I'm doing great, sir. Thanks for asking yourself.
Okay. I'm doing well. I'm doing all right. A comment and a question. My one question, the stuff that you was just reading about, it was kind of concerning kind of the question I had.
Okay, let's do the comment first.
Okay.
Let's do the comment first.
My comment was referring to Cornelius.
Yeah.
The first one, I had my own comment, but I wanted to respond to your statement about Cornelius. That you were saying that I'm asking, you believe he's not an Israelite, right?
Brother, before I answer the question, let me ask, how long have you known
about
this?
I'm going to be honest, I just found your page,
Brother, listen, yeah. I'm going to work with you here, okay? All right? Let me ask you first.
Let's take our time.
Mm-hmm. How long have you known about yourself being an Israelite?
Oh, that was my other question. I was going to ask you, who do you believe is Israel?
Okay. Let's start. Let me ask the question again. Because in order for me to edify to you, I have to know that you're listening to me. So do you know you're an Israelite, yes or no?
Oh, yes.
Okay. All right. That's yes. How long have you known? How many years?
Consciously.
Because you can just pull anything out.
I've known for myself.
When did you confirm from a teacher? Let me get specific. When was it confirmed from a teacher with the Bible open that you was an Israelite? What year was that? How many years?
When I was in Christianity. I was in a line church of Geno Jennings, if you ever heard of him.
Yeah, but brother, stick with me. A year.
Yeah,
how long ago?
When I found out.
How long ago?
That was
a year.
Like 2014. Yeah, probably
2014.
Like 2014.
All right, okay. Now, yeah. Let's stick a hold on 2014. Right?
Okay.
That's when you knew you was an Israelite, 2014. Good. Brother, I was in a class before there was YouTube, right? Around 2004, there was a class where a breakdown came down, and I was in the class because I was there. This was before there was any such thing as all these groups out here, where it came out that there was some breakdown information that's going to be groundbreaking. And we all had to go to New York. And then when we went to New York, they said, we got a new breakdown that Cornelius was an Israelite. I was there when it first came out. I was sitting in the class. And the proof that they had was a picture of an Italian showing a black Italian person and the fact that Israelites were amongst the Italian band. I was there. Eyewitness. And everyone out there, I don't care if it's Johanna, any of them can tell you about that same class. And then the doctrine was changed where we had to teach that on the streets in the early 90s, not 2000s, the early 90s. I'm talking about not 2002, I'm talking about around 94, excuse me. 1994 is when that came up. Right? Now, 3 weeks before that, something happened on the street. You know what happened? A Gentile came up, a white man, who said, well, what about Cornelius? Peter dealt with Cornelius because they didn't want to teach him. And I've seen everyone scratching their heads. So what's the convenient way of ignoring a clear disparity between what Peter was doing and what you're doing? What's a clear way of doing it? How can you needle that thread? Because you aren't teaching white people. But yet Cornelius, whom Christ built his church off of, is dealing with Cornelius. So how do you thread that needle? A white man, I was at the teaching on 15th and Market when a white man came. Okay? Now, how do you thread that needle? Oh, you come back a few weeks later and let us all go to New York and tell us, yeah, don't worry about it. Cornelius is an Israelite. Okay? So, brother, I'm giving you the origin of I was in the room when it was being taught, when it first came out. Now, let's go to Cornelius in Acts the 10th chapter, shall we?
I'm not speaking because I want you to speak.
Brother, listen. When I
don't ever want to interrupt you.
That's no problem. But what I'm doing is when I'm speaking to people, I have about, 2,000 people up in here? So I must edify. That's my job. So I thought I would roll that out because it was no question about whether or not Cornelius was an Israelite until 1994. Now you got all these Israelites that, whether it be all these splinters out here who don't even realize that before there was all these different names, IUIC, Gathering of Christ, GMS, Sakari is something new just came out of nowhere, a spawn off of Tahara, Great Millstone. But before all of these,
yeah.
Brother, I'm teaching because other people are listening. Okay? Listen to what I'm saying. Before all of these, there was only one group. And I'm telling you the year it happened so that they're edified. Because I was in the room. Now, let me ask you this. Why are you asking about whether or not Cornelius is a Gentile or not? Did you think he was an Israelite?
believe that, yes,
you will. Okay. Okay. Let's do it then. I got the Bible open. I'm going to let everyone see the Bible. And you're going to show me where Cornelius is an Israelite. I'm waiting.
Okay. Hold on 1 second. Now, I wanted to respond to like how what you were saying. Like,
Brother, listen.
I'm going to the scripture.
Brother, listen. Listen to me clearly because I'm exact and I'm to the point. Am I playing in the background?
Are you up?
I hear myself in the background.
No, you're not playing in the background. Maybe
okay, I hear an echo of myself. No,
Yeah, it's not on speaker or anything. I was just bring the scripture. I was going to bring Joel and
okay.
The book of Joel and
brother,
book of Lamentations.
Brother, there's one I need you to do.
Go to the scripture, right?
Brother, that's what I'm going to do. Are you with me? I need you to follow me real quick.
I'm listening.
To give context, some people out there may not know who Cornelius is. So let's go to Acts 10 first.
Yeah. Let's go there. Got my book.
Let me know when you're there.
Okay. I brought my book out. I didn't feel like using it on my computer. Acts chapter 10. Yes, I'm there. What verse would you like to start at?
No, just read the first verse.
First verse?
There
was a certain man in Caesarea called Cornelius, a centurion of the band called the Italian band.
Let's stop right there. So we know one thing for sure is that Cornelius was of the Italian band. Right?
Yeah.
Right? So now I need you to show me that this Cornelius right here is an Israelite. I'm just giving context so that people can understand.
How would you like me to answer it? Because I want to answer your question how you want me to answer it, because that's how it ends up kind of going. So I want
brother,
to respect
listen.
The format.
Brother, listen. Listen, it's fine. It's fine.
Yeah.
What I'm doing here, brother, is because we have some people who may have, who aren't theologically sound to know who we're talking about and what's the importance of it. So I went to Acts 10 so at least people out there will know who we're talking about. In the Bible, that's Cornelius, right? So
right.
Now, this Cornelius of Acts 10, you are about to prove to me that this Cornelius is an Israelite. Right?
Yes.
Okay, go on.
Yes.
Guess what? And I'm totally
okay.
Quiet. I'm not going to say anything. Roll.
Okay. I would like to go to prove. I just want to read it so we know what scripture we're going to. So we're starting in Acts chapter 10, verse 1, as I just read. And it's talking that Cornelius was a centurion man of the band, a centurion of the band called the Italian band. Now, in context, Peter had a dream.
Hey, brother, listen to me.
I'm going to.
Brother. If I have to come in one more time and say, go to some scriptures and prove this to me, I'm going to the next call.
All right, Zechariah chapter 11. I'll just start
okay.
The scriptures.
Okay, just scriptures.
All right,
Zechariah
chapter 11,
what?
Verse 7.
Okay, we're going to
Zechariah.
Brother, take your time because we're edifying. Zechariah 11, verse 7. Go ahead, read that.
Okay. Hold on 1 second. Somebody call me out. 1 second. On my paperback, so I had to right here. And I will feed the flock of slaughter, even you, O poor of the flock, and I took unto me two staves, the one I called beauty and the one other I called bands, and I fed the flock.
Okay, so let's get on the same page here. Zechariah 11:7 is saying that Cornelius is an Israelite because the word bands is in Zechariah 11:7.
Yes.
Okay, what else you have? And let me ask you this real quick. Zechariah of the Old Testament, you know he was about 400 and some like years before Cornelius was born, right?
Well, you're not giving me the chance to elaborate, so I'm just trying to respect your format.
Brother, if you're going to be all over the place and get offended for no reason. All right.
So listen.
Okay, so stick with what I'm saying, nice and slow. You do know Zechariah. Okay, you know Zechariah was over 400 years before Cornelius was born, correct?
Yes. He's an oracle of God.
Okay, so when it says, okay, well, let me read this, so because maybe you're going to thread this needle for me. And I will feed the flock of slaughter, even you, O poor of the flock. And I took unto me two staves, the one I called beauty and the other I called bands, and I fed the flock. What does this have to do with Cornelius?
Because beauty, bands is Israel, the other 10 tribes of Israel.
Okay, what else you got?
And beauty is the Jews, the two tribes, well, the three.
Okay, Levi, so what you got in here is Judah. Beauty is who? Who's beauty?
The Jew.
Okay.
The three tribes, the southern tribe, Levi,
okay.
Benjamin, and Judah.
Okay,
and, beauty,
okay, what else?
Beauty and,
okay, what else you got? What else you got?
Oh, okay. Also, I'm sorry. Prophecy, I believe it's Isaiah. It's in the book of Isaiah. And it talks about...
We ain't gonna talk about what it talks about. Give me the scripture We got Bibles over here.
Give a description of what I'm talking about.
No, give scripture.
I'm asking.
Bible.
Scripture. Yeah, I'm giving
Bible open.
Yeah, Lamentations. I'm trying to remember the scriptures. I don't know what I'm saying. That's kind of all right. But just like I was saying Lamentations chapter 1. I'm sorry about that. This is also will be also a prophecy to right here.
Chapter verse.
Also like Lamentations chapter 1 verse 5. This kind of answers what the other brother was talking about too as well about why do the
no,
other
brother, you don't need
prosper.
To be straight off the way other brothers are at. You need to stick right here. Lamentations 1 and what?
Lamentations chapter 1, verse 5.
Let's get there. Okay. Now, this is scripture, brothers and sisters. We're going to where Cornelius is an Israelite. You want to read it?
Yeah.
Go ahead.
Her adversaries are the chief. Her enemies prosper. For the Lord have afflicted her. For the multitude of her transgressions, her children are gone into captivity before the enemy.
Okay, so what does this have to do with, how is this Cornelius?
Goes into basically the children of Israel, what's promised to them as it goes into Romans chapter
5. Oh, no,
I know
what it says about the children of Israel going into captivity. I was talking about that all night.
Romans chapter 9.
I'm not going to allow this to go on. This is blasphemous at this point. I'm going to ask what does Lamentations 1 and 5 have to do with Cornelius?
because that's the spreading of the prophecies and the promises.
No, tie in Cornelius for me. How do you get Cornelius out of Lamentations 1 and 5?
Because
do you know that this was written around 530 years before Christ was on the scene?
Yeah.
Okay, I got it. Okay, okay. I can't do this no more. Hey, brother. You
I'm
need
not
to follow
you off, brother.
Brother, listen.
I'm not even
you
cutting
don't...
you off, brother.
Brother, listen. I'm gonna give you one more.
I'm taking
because
my time.
You haven't done
I'm
it so far.
With you, man. I'm moving slowly with you. I'm being respectful to your stage. Honestly.
You gotta... Okay, let's brother, just relax. We go into Cornelius now. Okay?
Yeah, so Romans
because,
chapter 9
no,
for
brother,
Cornelius.
No. Romans 9 is Cornelius?
Do
okay,
you
let's
want
go.
Me to speak or be quiet?
No,
I'm just
Romans,
trying to figure out. Cause
no,
do you want me to be quiet right now?
No, brother. Go Romans 9, Cornelius. Let's go. Let's do it.
And we're just trying to have a conversation. We're on the phone, so that was... That's why I haven't ever talked to you before. So this is my
brother, just
first
focus.
Encounter.
Brother, I'm allowing you. Romans 9, let's go. Because we're taking up time now. Go. Romans 9. Because believe it or not, brothers and sisters, this is a teaching moment for you all. I want you all to understand the mindset and the theology of what's out there that really what this brother's doing. It's actually proven everything I said earlier. Okay? So I'm glad he came with this because now we understand.
It's like listening to a song that's a broken record. You can't really hear me. I can't even speak, brother. So it's like I get cut off so you can't hear me completely.
Brother, hold off before I put you on mute, okay? Brothers and sisters, I wanted him to do this so I can show you how there's no way to prove this, and they're out there believing this. So now I'm going to give it to you, Romans 9. Show me that he's Cornelius is
speak not
in his
yet
life.
To offend. Mm-hmm. Speak with my words, even with so. All right, so Romans chapter 9, it says, starting at verse 7.
Verse 7.
Mm-hmm.
Go on.
Neither because they are the seed of Abraham are they all children, but in Isaac shall thy seed be called. That is they which are the children of the flesh. They are not the children of God, but the children of the promise are accounted for the seed. For this is the word of promise. At this time will I come, and Sarah shall have a son. And not only this, but when Rebekah also had conceived by one, even by our father Isaac, for the children being not yet born, neither having done any good or evil, that the purpose of God according to the election might stand, not of work, but of him that calleth. It was said unto her, the elder shall serve the younger. As it is written, Jacob have I loved, Esau have I hated. What shall we say then? Is there unrighteousness with God? God forbid. For he saith to Moses, I will have mercy on whom I will have mercy, and I will have compassion on whom I will have compassion. So right here, as we see, if you can clear, give me a direction, because I can't remember off top right now, where Paul was taught that he was the apostle of the Gentiles. Do you know what scripture that is? That would be my next precept.
Okay, this is where we stop, brother, because I gave you an opportunity and you have not yet to prove that Cornelius was an Israelite. Now, so I'm going to put you on hold. Now, to be fair, brothers and sisters, put one in the chat if he proved Cornelius was an Israelite. Put two in the chat if it came nowhere close to anything he was talking about concerning Cornelius being an Israelite? Hey, folks, again, y'all thought he was playing. Brothers and sisters, he ain't playing. There's no one out there who has a doctrine of Cornelius being an Israelite. Don't go through these gymnastics all through scriptures proving nothing. They all do the same thing. They all do the same thing. And that's why I put it out there how crazy the doctrine is. What this brother don't understand is that I was there when this breakdown, if you want to call it, this whack breakdown came out. I was there. I was in the room. There's no way you can thread that needle. The only reason they have to teach Cornelius is an Israelite is because it conflicts with them cursing out the white man if Peter dealt with him. That's it. That's it. If they look at how Peter dealt with Cornelius, they would have to change their whole breakdown in how they interact with other people. So they said, you know what I'll do? I'll just say Cornelius was somebody, he had to be an Israelite if Peter dealt with him. Now, I'm going to show you how crazy it is. Let's go to Acts. And this is why if you don't teach Christ, you err in all the scriptures. Right? And I know what they'll do. They'll make response videos that'll take 3 hours trying to thread that needle. And I don't care because there's no way they can go to prove that. Okay? When you go to the book of Acts, let me get there real quick. Right? When you go to the book of Acts, the 10th chapter, let's get there. This is quite simple. Right? There was a certain man in Caesarea called Cornelius, a centurion of the band called the Italian band, a devout man and one that feared God with all his house, which gave alms to the people and prayed to God always. He saw a vision, and evidently about the ninth hour of the day, an angel of God coming into him and said unto him, Cornelius. And when he looked on him, he was afraid and said, what is it, Lord? And he said unto him, thy prayers and thine alms have come up before the memorial before God. And now send men to Joppa and call for one Simon, whose surname is Peter. He lodgeth with one Simon the tanner, whose house is by the seaside. He shall tell thee what thou oughtest do. So he went to Cornelius from the Italian band and said, go to Peter, and the Peter going to tell you what you need to do. Right? Now, Peter had a vision. On the morrow, as they went on their journey and drew nigh into the city, Cornelius is on his way, Peter went up upon the housetop to pray about the sixth hour. And when he became very hungry, he would have eaten, but while they made ready, he fell into a trance. 11, and saw heaven open and certain vessel descending upon him, as it had been a great sheet, knit at the four corners and let down to the earth, wherein all manner of four-footed beasts of the earth, wild beasts and creeping things and fowls of the air. Now, don't forget, folks, Cornelius is on his way to meet Peter. 13, and there came a voice to him, rise, Peter, kill and eat. 14, but Peter said, not so, Lord, for I have never eaten anything that is common or unclean. It was pigs and everything in his dream. God said, eat. He said, I can't eat this stuff. It's unclean. 15. And the voice spake unto him again the second time, what God hath cleansed, that call not thou common. Now, he wasn't talking about actual meats here, and I'm going to prove that. 16. This was done thrice, three times, and the vessel was received again into heaven. 17. Now, while Peter doubted in himself what this vision, which it had seen, should mean. So that means when Peter woke up, he still didn't understand why the Most High was trying to get him to eat all these unclean foods. Now, if it was about eating anything you like and praying over it, he would have went and got him a bowl of chitlins or some pork chops. At this point, Peter doesn't understand what this vision was about. But don't forget, before the vision, the Most High was sending Cornelius. Behold, the men which were sent from Cornelius had made inquiry of Simon's house and stood before the gate. So they're there. God sent them. And he called and asked whether Simon, which was surnamed Peter has the keys to Christ's kingdom. See? What lodged there? 19. While Peter thought on the vision, the Spirit said unto him, behold, three men seek thee. So Peter is still perplexed to what this dream of with pigs and all these other unclean animals. While he was still perplexed, a thought said, go seek these men. They're there. 20. Arise therefore and get thee down and go with them, doubting nothing, for I have sent them. Then Peter went down to the men from where were sent unto him from Cornelius and said, behold, I am he whom you seek. What is the cause wherefore you are come? Peter said to him. 22. And they said, Cornelius the centurion, a just man and one that feareth God, of good report among all the nations of the Jews. So obviously there was a report of this man from the Italian band. Was warned from God by an holy angel to send for thee into his house and to hear words of thee. Then called he to them and lodged them. And on the morrow, Peter went away with them. And certain brethren from Joppa accompanied him. And the morrow after they entered into Caesarea, and Cornelius awaited for them, and had called together his kinsmen and near friends. And as Peter was coming in, Cornelius met him and fell down at his feet and worshiped him. And Peter took him up, saying, stand up. I myself am a man. 27. Listen. And as he talked with him, he went in and found many that were come together. 28, listen, and he said unto them, you know how that it is an unlawful thing for a man that is a Jew to keep company or come unto one of another nation. Of another nation. So Peter said, you know I'm not supposed to be sitting down with you because you are of another race. When you look at that word race there, let me show you. Let's show you here. When you view the word race there, let me pull it up here. When you view the word, it's what? Allophilus, which is what? Look at this. Gentile. One of another race or nation. Right? So let's go back to 28. You can't make this up. And he said unto them, you know how that is unlawful for a man that is a Jew. Peter was from the tribe of Judah, to keep company or come unto one of another nation. But God, here it is. Now say you know more than God. But God hath showed me that I should not call any man, not pig, not horse, not dog, not monkey, not unclean. So what was being shown in the vision was the Most High preparing Peter to sit and deal with a Gentile. But God has showed me that I should not call any man common or unclean. That was a Gentile. Period. Now, how do you know that this Gentile was an Edomite? Again, go to Acts 15, verse 14. Simeon, that's another name for Peter, have declared how God at the first did visit the Gentiles to take out of them a people for his name, Cornelius. See? So that now, out of Esau, the elder can serve the younger. But you're not just going to go into the kingdom. You must repent and come to Christ to fulfill your prophecy for the kingdom. See? Now, when you go into it, how do you know he's Esau? Well, this prophecy is also written in Amos 9 and 11, which reads, "And that day will I raise up the tabernacle of David that is fallen, and close up the breaches thereof. And I will raise up his ruins, and I will build it as the days of old, that they may possess the remnant of Edom." Hence the reason the Most High told Cornelius to go to Peter. "And all the heathen, which are Gentiles, which are called by my name, saith the Lord that doeth this." Now, how does the Most High cover these Gentiles? Because they must accept Christ. And these are the nations who will serve in Christ's kingdom. Does it get any simpler than that? You see, I don't need any gymnastics and all that. If they accepted Cornelius as a Gentile, as the Bible speaks of him, then it would show you how ridiculous that doctrine is when it comes to pointing out white people and all that and not giving them access to learn what their portion is for the kingdom. It would have to change their whole doctrine when it comes to how they treat white people. That's the only reason they changed Cornelius into an Israelite. Okay? You're barking up the wrong tree here. A matter of fact, brother, if you really want to actually be able to teach what you're teaching, you should have went to Acts, the second chapter. Because at least in Acts, the second chapter, it says there was devout Jews out of every nation under heaven. And Italia is one of those nations that Peter baptized. See? Because that's what we used to do when the breakdown came down in 1994. But you know what's wrong with that particular breakdown, saying that there was Israelites amongst Italians? Is the fact that, listen, Peter meet Cornelius in Acts the 10th chapter. So you can't use the second chapter, because someone would have to wonder, well, why did Peter deal with the Italians or Jews in Italy in Acts the second chapter, but yet he had to go through a vision to deal with Cornelius? See? So I'm going to help you out here. See? I was there when it was taught. We used Acts the second chapter to show the Jews out of devout nation and showed Italians, and use a straw man connection to say that Cornelius must have been a part of one of them. Okay? Am I helping you out here? All right. So you can't thread that needle. Not here. All right. 916 area code. All right. 916 area code. Okay, there's no one there, so let's go to the next one here. Okay, hold on. Okay. Let's see. 857 area code. 857.
Shalom.
Shalom, sir. How are you?
I'm doing good. I'm doing well. I just have a quick question. I just want to break down of the two olive trees.
What's your name?
Uzziah.
Okay. Great question.
Calling
great
from
question.
Boston.
My brother.
Yes. You know, some people say it's the northern and the kingdom. I mean, the northern and the southern kingdom.
Yeah.
That's going to get grafted in. And some people say it's the Gentiles and the Israelites. So I just wanted like a clear breakdown from you. You know what I'm saying? Is it talking about the Israelites and the Gentiles? Are the Gentiles going to get grafted in? Or is it talking about the northern and the southern kingdom?
Well, there is no Israelites that are getting grafted in. If you're an Israelite, you are an Israelite. Okay.
No, I'm sorry. The Gentiles. The Gentiles.
Okay.
They're going to get grafted in.
Yeah. I'll show you. Hold on. 1 second, all right?
Come.
Am I playing in the background?
Yeah, I'm sorry about that. I had it muted. I'm sorry.
All right, 1 second. It's one scripture I'm going to get. All right, let's get it. All right, when you go to Isaiah 43, right?
Come.
I'm going to go there first. Now, keep in mind that there's a heavenly connection between what happens at the throne of the Most High that connects to the earth, the minister unto the earth. So there's two candlesticks in the heavens, right? But this is in direct prophetic connection to God's people, all right? So you got the heavenly candlesticks that are there, but they symbolize something in the earth, right? So when you go to Isaiah, the 43rd chapter, let me go there, right? Isaiah 43 and 1 reads, But now thus saith the Lord that have created thee, O Jacob, and have formed thee, O Israel. We know that's Judah and Israel, the two tribes that were split. Fear not, for I redeemed thee, and I've called thee by thy name, thou art mine, right? And then it goes all the way down, right, when you go down to the 10th verse. It says, and it tell you that we ascribe ourselves a name after we learn we're Israel, when you read this whole chapter. But when you go down to the 10th verse, brother, it reads, ye are my witnesses, saith the Lord, my servant whom I have chosen, that ye may know and believe me and understand that I am he. Before me there was no God formed, neither shall there be after me. So when this breaks down, it says, ye are my witnesses. It's speaking of the two witnesses before the two candlesticks, which are in earth God's people, Israel and Judah, the northern kingdom and the southern kingdom. This has nothing to do with Gentiles in particular. Okay? It's speaking of the two kingdoms that were split.
So the Gentiles are going to be grafted in just like how they have a chance to be saved, and they saving is them being servants pretty much.
Yeah, but the grafting in it's a whole nother different breakdown, because even those who believe in Christ will be on the outer courts outside of the temple. You're right? So when it talks about is Gentiles follow, matter of fact, let me get it. I can better show you than tell you. Right?
Yes.
When you go to the two witnesses in Revelation 11, linking back to what I was talking about, And there was given me a reed like unto a rod, and the angel stood, saying, rise and measure the temple of God, and the altar, and them that worship therein. We know that's 144,000. But the court,
yes,
which is without the temple, that means what? The Gentiles, the people on the outside of God's people, leave out and measure it not. So the Most High isn't seeking a certain number of Gentiles to be saved before the coming of Christ. He's seeking the physical people, a number who would actually come to that 144,000 before the return of Christ. Gentiles aren't numbered in that. For it is given unto the Gentiles. And the holy city shall they trod underfoot 42 months. Okay? So it's saying that the Gentiles, even if they do come in and learn, eventually they'll be on the outer courts, because Jerusalem, or the temple of God, belongs to its people.
Right.
And that's what I think, that's what people are getting confused. They believe if we teach the Gentiles and they come in, the Gentiles are learning under Christ, that this is us giving the Gentiles something equal to Israelites, when we have no kingdom to give Israelites or Gentiles. It's the Most High who's going to set Israel up under Christ and put the Gentiles back into their natural place that was allotted to them in the beginning.
Right. That thing's going to be back in order.
Yeah. So a lot of them, when they see Gentiles amongst us, they try to conflate things and say, well, he's saying that Israelites and Gentiles will be equal in the kingdom of heaven, which makes them liars. But they know if they say that, people who don't know what we teach would look at it and be like, man, that's what they teach. Man, I'm not dealing with them. So they have to lie, right, in order to get people not to actually listen to what the Bible is being said to us.
Right. And that's why I was telling the
Listen, someone says Cornelius was from the northern tribe. If you can prove that Cornelius was from the northern tribe, I'll tell you what. I'll break down and join your church tonight if you can prove that. And don't forget, I taught that before you knew anything about the Bible. If you can prove to me that Cornelius, through the Bible, was from the northern tribes, one of the 10 tribes, because we taught that too, I was there when the breakdown came out, and I can teach that better than probably you can come on and explain it.
Yeah.
I'm talking to people out there. So you can put whatever you want out there. If you want to believe that, that's on you. Okay? But you can't prove what you're saying out of the Bible.
Right.
I'm speaking to somebody in the comment section. You can't even prove that. Okay? You can't prove you're from the northern kingdom. And guess what? And if you can, call up. And I'll tell you what. I'll break down and join whatever you teach. You become my teacher forever if you can prove that tonight. That Cornelius is from the northern kingdom. But
yeah.
I didn't know you. No, I'm talking about them. Brother, let me put you on hold because I'm talking to somebody else, all right?
Okay, can I just say a comment? Or you got to...
Okay, go on.
No, I was going to say, you know, us Israelites, we need to focus on us, because when you read, you know, the centurion story in St. Matthew 8 and 5, you know, Yeshaya says, you know, verily I say unto you, I have not found so great faith, no, not in Israel. And I say unto you that many shall come from east and west and shall sit down with Abraham and Isaac and Jacob in the kingdom of heaven, but the children of the kingdom shall be cast out unto utter darkness. They shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. So that shows you that, you know, the Most High is, you know, we're so worried about the Gentiles and what they got going on. We need to be worried about us. Yeshaya is telling us here in this verse, like, we got to get it together or we going to be outside the kingdom.
Thank you, brother. I couldn't have said it better. Thank you. Shalom.
Shalom.
Bless you, my brother.
Shalom. Thank you.
Listen, I'll tell you how I can show you the scriptural gymnastics you would have to go through, right? The whole thing is when we used to break it down, let me add myself before YouTube and all that, before when it was all one group, it wasn't all these others out there. They would say, Cornelius, devout. The white man can't be devout. The wise man tell you he's evil. So right there, that's a clue that he must be an Israelite. Folks, you can't make this up. This is what they do. He was devout. So devout means he couldn't have been the white man. So he must have been an Israelite. And then they'll go through all the devout scriptures showing Israelites being devout through the scriptures and say, see? See the Israelites devout? See? He's an Israelite. You can't make this up, folks. Folks, I'm laughing, but it isn't funny. This is what they do. Then they say the 10 tribes were spread throughout even Italia and all that. So Cornelius must have been one of them in the northern kingdom. Can you prove that? Well, no, but he had to be. See? That was Peter dealing with the 10 tribes. Can you prove that's Cornelius from the northern kingdom? Well, no. See, this is what you have to go through, these scriptural gymnastics. Let me tell you, this is what you have to go through when you don't want to listen to what the Bible states and says in plain sight. I can break down in a couple of minutes, and I just proved it within three scriptures that Cornelius was an Edomite from another nation, according to precepts. Right? And the last caller did sum it up. I wish I had more time, but I'm out of time. That concludes our broadcast for today. Keep in mind, stay prayed up, sin not. We will soon see Jerusalem, Israel. And keep in mind, the Most High is calling back the children of Israel. I'll see you this Friday on Patreon. Shalom. Bless you.
The 12 tribes of Israel. We be Manasseh, the Cubans, Ephraim, from Puerto Rico, and Valley from the heart of Hawaii. The Lord is calling back Israel.